Okay, good afternoon. Thank you for the invitation to present some of our findings on the public health impacts of a chronic, slow-moving disaster, the California drought. So back in the 1930s, much of the central United States was in the midst of the Dust Bowl, which was caused by a combination of poor soil conservation and multiple years of drought. And this photo was taken in Beaver County, Oklahoma, in the Oklahoma Panhandle. Now, the Dust Bowl has, of course, worked its way into popular culture, most notably in Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath, which actually tells the story of an Oklahoma family fleeing the Dust Bowl to the California Central Valley. And this is a number that I'd like you to remember as I go through this presentation. Beaver County, Oklahoma, lost 24% of its population between 1930 and 1940. Now, Oklahoma as a whole only lost 2% of its population. The major metropolitan areas of Oklahoma actually grew during the 1930s. It was the rural and the semi-rural counties that disproportionately experienced these population losses. California is now in its fifth year of the most severe drought of its recorded history. The state has received 63 emergency proclamations from city, county, and tribal governments and special districts. Governor Brown proclaimed a state of emergency in California due to drought conditions in January 2014. And then later in 2015, Governor Brown also issued an executive order mandating a 25% water use reduction for cities and towns across the state. During the same month, the Secretary of the United States Department of Agriculture designated 27 California counties as natural disaster areas due to the drought. Now, drought conditions were improved somewhat by a relatively wet spring, but still 21% of the state is in an exceptional drought, and 48% of the state is in an extreme drought or worse. California is going to continue to face impacts of the drought into 2016 and for an unknown period beyond. A review of the available data from the Governor's Drought Task Force revealed that as of November of 2015, which is when we did the assessments that I'll be discussing, there were approximately 2,600 newly dry private wells reported to the state, impacting approximately 13,000 residents. However, these are likely underestimates. Emergency food assistance in the form of boxes of food provided to local food banks had been picked up by more than 500,000 households since the start of the drought. Assessing the public health impact of drought in the United States is challenging in that long-term situations where large numbers of households, even entire communities, actually running out of water is unprecedented. The only contemporary comparable studies of drought health effects in highly developed countries stem from the Australian drought of 2003 to 2012, and major effects on behavioral health and social structure resulting from the drought were identified in Australia, including increases in anxiety and depression, leading to increased suicide incidents, large migrations from rural communities resulting in diminished community cohesion and resources, and the concomitant reduction of social networks, especially those identified as crucial for behavioral health support. So we studied the literature and consulted with colleagues at CDC and also discussed with local health officials and reviewed work done by the Governor's Drought Task Force. And we identified behavioral health, exacerbation of existing chronic diseases, and population migration as likely public health impacts of the drought. We also identified potential causes and mediators of these effects. Access to water, or whether a household has running tap water, and changes in the quality of their water. Household water needs and conservation behaviors, and the use of water for personal hygiene and food hygiene. Environmental concerns about air quality, water quality, and contamination, and resilience for other disasters such as wildfires and floods. Economic stressors, such as impact on work, on livelihood, on food affordability and food availability, and community cohesion and support, and access to social services. We gathered household-level situational awareness data by conducting community assessments for public health emergency response, or CASPERS. CASPER is a tool developed by the CDC designed for rapid assessment of the health status and basic needs of a community impacted by a disaster, providing a snapshot that allows decision makers to identify service gaps and prioritize the distribution of resources during a response. CASPER uses a two-stage sampling methodology with a goal of completing 7 interviews per census block among 30 census blocks within a chosen sampling frame, or a goal of 210 interviews total. The census blocks are chosen randomly with a probability of selection proportional to the number of housing units in the census block, and then the 7 households in each census block are chosen by systematic random sampling. The data generated by CASPER is only generalizable to that sampling frame, and the sampling frame can be any geographic definition, just as long as there are enough households to interview. However, it's quite possible that one would obtain similar findings from a CASPER to other nearby geographic areas. Several counties expressed interest in conducting a drought CASPER in 2015, but some had to drop out due to time and resource constraints. Tulare and Mariposa agreed to participate. Tulare County is in California Central Valley. It's largely agricultural, and it has the most number of reported dry wells. Mariposa County is in the Sierras, and it has very low reservoirs and has also experienced substantial tree mortality as a result of the drought. In collaboration with Mariposa and Tulare counties, we developed a core 5-page questionnaire to be used in each drought CASPER. Each county was also given the option of including up to 1 page of questions unique to their county in addition to the 5 pages. The questions used in the CASPER survey were chosen following discussions with the county and also by reviewing the CDC documents when every drop counts, protecting public health during drought conditions. Also published reports and papers from the 2000s Australia drought and consultation with a team of health psychologists from the University of California, Merced. In consultation with Tulare County, we selected 2 regions to perform CASPERs. The region outlined above for the North Tulare CASPER sampling frame includes the census-designated places of Cutler and Orosi. These areas first started reporting dry wells last year. The South Tulare region includes the town of East Porterville and surrounding areas, and this area has reported dry wells for multiple years. Note that these selected areas do not include the larger metropolitan areas in the map of Visalia or Tulare City or Porterville, since the population of these metropolitan areas are served by municipal water districts. The purpose of these boundaries was to enrich as much as possible for private well ownership. Mariposa County, on the other hand, chose a county-wide CASPER rather than trying to exclude specific geographic regions, so the data for Mariposa is generalizable to the entire county. So the remainder of this presentation is going to focus on the results of these CASPERs. The demographics of the populations were mostly similar to those reported for those areas in U.S. Census data. North and South Tulare households were younger than Mariposa households, as assessed by percentage of households with a resident 17 years old or younger, or at least 65 years old. The households in North and South Tulare were also less likely to speak English as their primary language at home, and less likely to own their home. Most households in North and South Tulare identified television as their primary source of information about the drought. TV was also the most common answer given by households in Mariposa, with internet as a close second at 30%. Most of the households in all 3 sampling frames identified the statement that there is poor water management by the government as being true. Nevertheless, when asked where a household would go for assistance during a severe water shortage, 40 to 60% reported that they would seek assistance from county, state, or federal government agencies. Now, as stated earlier, the CASPER sampling frames were chosen to enrich for private well ownership in North and South Tulare. And a private well was a water source before the drought for 29% of households in North Tulare, 63% in South Tulare, and 74% in Mariposa County. Despite the efforts of these counties to restore running water to homes with dry wells, still at the time of the interview, about 8% of households in North Tulare, 12% in South Tulare, and 3% in Mariposa did not have running tap water. The most commonly reported barrier to not having tap water in each county was cost. Among those households without running tap water, half to three quarters are obtaining bottled water. Of those households obtaining bottled water, many are purchasing the water themselves, despite the existence of county free water assistance programs. Residents of South Tulare were least likely to purchase their water and just as likely to have obtained water from their local government. And of those households that are purchasing bottled water on their own, some have reported that these purchases have caused difficulty in affording other basic necessities. Some households reported seeking assistance related to the drought, 14% in North Tulare, 26% in South Tulare, and 8% in Mariposa. And of those that reported seeking assistance, some, between 6 and 17%, specifically reported seeking food assistance as a result of the drought. Now, some of the questions in the CASPER address steps that households have taken to reduce water usage. The vast majority of households in each of the CASPER sampling frames reported less watering of their lawn. However, only a minority of households in each sampling frame have adopted any sort of water catch and reuse system. Some households, 38% in North Tulare, and about half of the households in South Tulare and Mariposa, have replaced appliances or toilets with more water-efficient models. Mariposa County included questions about gray water usage in their CASPER. As the audience is familiar with gray water, this is basically plumbing capture and reuse of, for example, sink water to be used for flushing a toilet. About 20% of Mariposa households reported having a gray water system, and of these, most actually had that system before the drought began. Now, when we asked households that did not have a gray water system in Mariposa what were the barriers to getting a gray water system installed, the most commonly reported reasons were that it would be too expensive or that they didn't know enough about gray water. But interestingly, about 12% thought that gray water systems were illegal in Mariposa. This is actually not the case. So Mariposa ordinances specifically allow for gray water systems. The majority of households reported that they have reduced the frequency or duration of hand washing as a means to reduce water usage. This is, of course, not a recommended means of reducing water usage, and has definitely some implications for increased incidence of infectious diseases. Now, when asked about the impact of the drought on their households, using categories that were not mutually exclusive, many reported that the drought had impacted their property, including a majority in Mariposa. This county is in the Sierras, where there's massive tree deaths as a result of the drought. And large numbers also reported that the drought had impacted their household finances. And we also asked questions gauging the effects on the health of household members. And within these sampling frames, 10 to 20% of the households answered yes to the question of whether the drought has affected the health of a member of their household. Now, without asking the households to be specific as to type, approximately a quarter to a third reported that a member of the household had a chronic disease or was medically fragile. And of those households that reported a member had a chronic disease, roughly a quarter to almost half reported that the disease has gotten worse since the drought started. Of course, since drought is a time-dependent phenomenon, as is the development of chronic diseases, this does not actually address whether the drought was the cause for this worsening. In the Tulare sampling frames, we asked about household perceptions of outdoor dust. In both North and South Tulare, most households reported that dust had increased since the drought began. Of those households, most were concerned about health effects due to increased dust. And among those households, the most commonly reported health concerns were increases in allergies and asthma. Households also commonly reported that the drought had impacted their peace of mind, from a third in North Tulare to a majority in Mariposa. We also assessed the prevalence of drought-related acute mental stress, and we did this by whether a member of the household had had certain experiences in the past 30 days related to the drought, such as trouble sleeping, agitated behavior, or racing or pounding heartbeat. And we found that acute mental stress was most common among households in the Tulare sampling frames, with 15 and 26%, and was also reported among 8% of households in Mariposa. Now, recall at the beginning of this presentation, the depopulation of the Oklahoma Panhandle during the Dust Bowl, with Beaver County losing 24% of its population. Many households in the sampling frames reported that they have considered moving because of the drought, including approximately one-third of those in South Tulare. These percentages bookend the 24% of Beaver County, Oklahoma, during the Dust Bowl. Based on these findings, among our recommendations were that counties continue to inform residents about water assistance programs, since all households were not aware of them, particularly in North Tulare, where wells have just begun to go dry in the past year. We also recommend that households should use adequate water for critical hygienic practices, such as hand washing. And we also recommended that counties consider expanding behavioral health services to those under acute stress from the drought, and consider providing behavioral health training and resources to local community health workers, and partner with food assistance organizations to provide public health and behavioral health services at food pickup locations. So with that, I'll thank you for your attention and be happy to answer any questions. Do you want to do this now? Oh, sure. Okay, so the question was... Right. Yeah, so the question was whether the state has plans for increasing water access. And to some degree, that is possible. The state does have well drilling. The state does not actually provide the assistance directly. They provide to the counties. It's a decentralized state, and then counties... Some will have well assistance programs, well drilling assistance programs, or, for example, no interest loans for those households that require a new well. I think the real one of the water is extremely difficult to transport. It's as far as cost effectiveness goes, the most inefficient way of transporting water is overland on a vehicle, and so. Transporting water by water trucks indefinitely is probably not sustainable. I'm not sure about getting an iceberg to the Central Valley because you have to go over a couple of mountain ranges. However, I think one of the real issue that a lot of the households are contending with is if the household does not have water, that is, by most county regulations, an unlivable household that could potentially cause the household to be red tagged and condemned. None of the counties have an interest in condemning homes because that is much more expensive than just getting water to them. So the counties are trying to focus on whatever means possible to get homes water until the rain comes back. But since all the water is dependent since the private wells are dependent on groundwater, which requires recharge from rain, there's not a lot that can be done other than trucking in water until the rains come back. Ma'am. Well, that was actually, yeah, so I guess to rephrase the question, why are people leaving? Why are people leaving? Exactly. And I would say we probably don't have a good answer to that right now. I'm not sure if we have much of a handle on what percentage has actually left each county as a result of the drought. And this was among the first data that we had that persons were even considering leaving. So we did not follow up with specific reasons associated with the drought of why they are thinking about leaving, but it's entirely possible some might be due to regulation. Some, I would imagine that the most prevalent reason would be economic job losses. So this is especially in the agricultural counties. Sir? Well, I should point out that these CASPERS were performed before. Yes. So the question was about the perception of poor water management by the government, and was there any specific reasons that were cited? And I'm just going to pull that number back up again. And we did not ask on any specific root causes. What was there a particular regulation or a particular water board, or was it state versus county? It was a broader question than that. I think you had also asked whether this had anything to do with Donald Trump saying that he was just going to open up the water. And I should point out that this was done before he announced that there was no drought. So we captured that data before Mr. Trump's announcement. Yes.
Hi. If I could ask really quickly, has public health had a role so far in enforcing legal water use restrictions, or do they foresee a role of public health in enforcing those regulations?
Water use restrictions are actually within the purview of the state water boards and not within public health. So I'm not sure if we have a role for that. We are more interested in determining whether there are any quantifiable health impacts due to the lack of water.
So I have another one. I know the iceberg was a little bit of a fancy thing, but San Diego has been working on desalinization plants. So is there any discussion of that at this point and further north in the state?
I'm afraid I don't really have a grasp on that issue of how much effort is being put into desalinization. Sorry.
I was wondering if you found any trends related to disparities among certain populations, such as the immigrant population or the immigrant workers in the area,
right,
or people who live far away from urban centers?
Yeah, okay, thank you. So that just gets to the CASPER methodology. And the problem with, I don't want to call it a problem, because CASPER is designed for a snapshot of a sampling frame, and it's very difficult to parse data out of a CASPER and to do subset analysis. So I think that would be a worthy goal. It's just something that's not possible with the data captured by a CASPER, because you really can't parse out within the sampling frame. The data is generalizable to the entire sampling frame.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.